I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to draw near to him. If I am truly born again, if I am truly filled with his spirit, I don't need a lot of laws and rules. I don't need someone to tell me to worship God. If I am truly born again and filled with the Spirit, I can't wait to worship God. I don't need somebody to tell me love God. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I don't need somebody to tell me to love my neighbor or love my family or love my wife or husband or love any of my children, because if I am truly filled with him, man, I can't help but love them. It thrills me because God is now coursing through my veins, and it's not the life that I'm leading, it's God living through me. Okay, last one, number three. The gospel is offensive to religion because it gives life and religion takes life. Another way of saying that is the gospel imparts life to you. Religion sucks the life out of you. Last scripture, Mark chapter 3. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. It's like, you know, his hand was all like spasmed up and just, you know, like that, just, you know, deformed and everything. Entered the synagogue, a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely. Whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. So that they might have something to accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they kept silent. Can you sense the tension in the air? They're watching him like a hawk, boy. I dare you to heal that man. I double dare you. I triple dog dare you to heal that man. I'm watching you. You better not heal that guy on the Sabbath. Gonna be in a heap of trouble. And when he had looked around at them with anger, who are we talking about? Who? Jesus. And he looked around at them with what? Was that sin? No, Jesus never sinned. He's like, where's the compassion? Where is the compassion? Where's the mercy? Where's the sense of love for your neighbor, this man whose hand is useless and distorted and deformed? And he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. I just want to shout, man. I want to get up on a chair and jump or something. Verse 6, then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. That's insanity. You can feel the tension in the air. I mean, it must have been so thick you could cut it with a knife as Jesus is standing there, and they are watching him to see if he's going to scandalously heal this man on the Sabbath. Watching him, watching his every move, scrutinizing him, waiting for him, knowing that he's going to do it, and just waiting so that they had something to accuse him of. Not so that they could rejoice that the guy's hand got healed. Not so they could glorify God. Not so they could worship God and fall on their face and say, man, the power of God, how glorious, how wonderful, how exciting. But so they could accuse him. How twisted is that? That's sick. And then when Jesus healed him, what did they do? They plotted how to do what? Destroy him. That seems twisted and sick, but that's what a religious spirit will do. There are very well-meaning, web-based, I say well-meaning, let me take that back. There are some web-based, self-appointed watchdog organizations. You can find them if you search the web long enough. And they will scrutinize every word of major Christian speakers and teachers. And if they find anything that in the slightest disagrees with their doctrine, they will label them as a cult. And they will say some of the most vicious, malicious, hurtful, slanderous things against these godly men and women because they disagree, not on some fundamental of the faith, but on just some little Christian doctrine that is just really incidental. And I'm amazed because some of the Christian leaders that appear on these cult lists, that's what they are, they're called cult watchers, and they list these people who they label as cults. Some of the people that appear on this, I don't know if you know some of these guys, Billy Graham, thank you, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, John MacArthur, I could go on and on. Yeah, that was my reaction exactly. And they'll take some word or sentence that they said and they'll twist it all out of context and say, well, they were really trying to appeal to these pagan religions or this other, you know, New Age thing over here, and they'll just turn them into a cult and slander them and put them on this list. Now, they've never actually plotted to kill them that I'm aware of. But does it matter? I mean, they treat them with utter hatred and contempt. And Scripture says in 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a what? A murderer. It's the same spirit, the same enemy that was motivating those men to want to kill Jesus is motivating these people who make a man an offender for a word, who just sit there and look for something to criticize, who wait and say, I dare you say something out of line, I'm going to nail you to the wall on my website. You know what the awesome thing about Jesus is? He never let it stop him. He said, you can destroy me, you can slander me, you can defame me, I'm going to heal him anyway. You can nail me to a cross, I'm going to raise the dead anyway. You can throw me to the Romans, you can accuse me and call me names and send out your, just give it your best shot. I'm going to love on people anyway. I'm going to open blinded eyes. I'm going to pray for the sick and they'll recover. I'm going to make the deaf hear and the lame walk, and I'm going to raise the widow's son, make her rejoice. I'm going to love on people anyway, and I'm going to glorify God anyway. Take your best shot. It doesn't matter. I'm going all out for him. And do you know we are called to take the same attitude with us? That no matter what opposition we face from the world, no matter what criticism, no matter what malicious, vicious, hateful, hurtful spirit people throw at us and malign us with, if we will say, God, you are worth it, I'm going to serve you anyway with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to pray for folk and they're going to recover. I'm going to just throw myself at your feet and become undignified for you because you are worthy of it. If we do that, we will capture the heart and the spirit of the gospel because it's all about being in love with our daddy and just letting him love on us and then loving each other with that same power. Amen. Praise God. Bottom line is this, if you follow Jesus, you're going to offend some folks. If you bask in His grace and enjoy what He freely gives, you're going to offend some folks. If you don't conform to all the rules that the world sets up for you, whether it's the godless world or even the religious world, you're going to offend some folks. Even if your life is a blessing to others, when it's under the microscope, you're going to offend some folks. Guess what? That's okay. Offend them anyway. Follow Jesus anyway. Live by grace anyway. Bless other people anyway. Because the gospel is offensive, but it freely provides. It liberates. It gives joy and it gives life. And He is worthy of it. Amen? You want to be offensive for a few more minutes? Tom, come on back up here, man. Let's. Oh, my goodness, the Slaters are gone. I guess we can't be all that offensive. Come on up here, Tom. Let's. Sarah still here? She gone too. What's that, Fred? Oh, okay. What the heck, man? We're just gonna love on God and sing His praises. And we're gonna close out and glorify God and worship Him because He is what?
Worthy.
Amen. Let's do that.